tonight and to be in the service. Appreciate what the Lord did last evening and the blessing of God that was on the meeting. And appreciate all the singing tonight. Kind of, I guess somewhat questioning what I was going to preach on tonight based on that conviction that's still lingering. And when you get a meeting going in that direction, you want to keep it going. But I want to preach a very simple message tonight. I feel like it'd be the mind of God for this evening. Mark chapter number 4, please. Nothing strange. I'll preach nothing new tonight that your preacher's not preached 1,000 times and others, I'm sure. And nothing that just simple down-to-earth thinking. But I feel somehow maybe tonight someone's here that is in a burden and needs a little encouragement, a little help. Last night we left with a deep conviction on the service. Folk get saved. But I believe this is still the mind of God even for the hour. And again, it won't be nothing deep, just a very simple message. And I hope it'll be a help to you tonight. Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35. Good to have Brother Ray Goolsby and Jonathan Goolsby with us tonight. Good to have them down in the Georgia area. Appreciate them coming up. Mark chapter number 4 and verse 35. The Bible said, in the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Let's bow to pray. Father, thank you tonight for the privilege to be back in the house of God. Thank you, dear Lord, for the meeting last evening and Monday evening, God, for the ones you saved, and God, for the work that's been done, dear God, in their hearts. And Lord, I pray tonight for the direction and the mind of the Holy Ghost, our Father, in the service. You know what needs to be said and what needs to be done. And you know all the problems and cares, God, that may be present tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'd help me, God, not to try to figure out what's right or wrong, but God, to mind you and follow the mind of the Lord in this hour. Thank you for these people that's come. I pray a special blessing and help for us all tonight. God, please step in. Lord Jesus, I can't preach. I can't do anything. God, I need the touch of God tonight and the help of the Lord. And I pray, dear God, that you'd bless and help us in this hour. We love you and praise you and honor you and thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated tonight. I've already stated that this is a very simple passage of Scripture, one that you've heard preached from no doubt many times. I've preached from it several times, but that's all I get on my heart today. It just seems like every time I pray, and it's all I get on my heart, and so we'll just try to mind the Lord tonight. A lot of good life lessons in this passage of Scripture. Jesus has just finished the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil. And then he goes off headed over on the other side, headed to Gadara. And you know what's going on here. And we've seen the end result of this passage of Scripture. We know what happened. We know the great thing that went on here. But they're in a problem just like you and I. They're living out their life one day at a time, one moment at a time. They don't understand the end results. If I understood a lot of times the end result of things, I believe it would take a lot of worry off my heart. But you and I are prone to get troubled and get tore up, and we don't know how a thing is going to finish. I want to preach tonight for just a few minutes on some things to remember until the storm passes by. Some things to remember until the storm passes by. Let me say two or three things by the way of introduction. Let me say number one, they're following the Savior here. The Bible says, even Matthew said in Matthew 8:23, the Bible said that they followed Him. Verse 35, the same day that evening was come, He said, let us pass over to the other side. They're following the Savior. But then they're facing a storm. I used to think this when I first got saved. I thought, as sure as you're following the Lord and you're trying to serve God and do right and act right and live for the Lord, everything will be all right and everything will just be peaches and cream and all of that. But I soon learned that following the Lord will oftentimes run right into the middle of difficulty and heartache in your life. Being saved and following God sure does not mean that you're not going to have some difficulty and some rough days in your life. Amen. I've come to realize the closer you get to the Lord, probably the more storms you're going to have in your life. They're following the Savior. They're facing a storm. May I say it's no small storm. I'll come to my truth in a minute. Bible said in verse number 37, you keep your eyes on your Bible, He said, there arose a great storm. This word great is the word seismos. It's the same word that's used in the measuring of an earthquake. It was so and so on the seismic scale. And it's the same thing. This is no small storm. No doubt it's several miles wide. And it's a great wind involved in that storm. Then there's a fearful situation here. Verse number 40 said, Jesus said, why are ye so afraid? This storm is causing them to have fear in their heart. I don't know about you, but I've been through a lot of things in my life that just stirred up fear down deep in my heart. And fear comes, and I don't like those days, do you? When fear comes and you're upset and agitated and there's a stir and trouble down in your soul, well, there's a fearful situation. But let me say this, and then I'll come to the message. No matter about the following the Savior and the facing the storm and fearing the situation, they are failing to see a miracle. I never caught this to some weeks back, and I've been preaching 33 years. I've heard this preached on many times. I've preached on it several times myself. But I never caught this until just a few days back looking at this. They are failing to see a miracle. What's the miracle? Look, if you will, please, in verse 37. The Bible said, there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now what? Let me just try to slow down here tonight. It was now full. Matthew's gospel said that the water covered the ship. It was full and water had covered it. I don't know too much about sailing. I can't swim. The biggest trip I take swimming's across the bathtub and back. I don't do no swimming. I'll drown. But listen to me tonight. I know enough to know this. When a boat is full of water and a boat is covered in water, it's supposed to be sinking. Amen. Did you get that? But you know what's going wrong? This boat is not going down. They're so troubled that they don't see the miracle. You know you can get in such a shape that you miss everything around you that God's doing. You know that? You can miss everything that God is doing when you get in such a shape. Well, let me say five things tonight. And I know they'll be simple, but I believe it's a mind of God. Let me say five things tonight that you can remember or you need to remember when you are in the storm. Let me say number one, you're to remember there's other people to continue with in the storm. Look at verse number 36. The Bible said, and when He sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him
other little ships. They're not the only people in the storm. There's other people that's facing the same problems that they're facing. I want to have to preach slow tonight. I can see I ain't going to be able to just rear back and preach maybe the way we normally do, but there were other people in the storm. Have you ever got to feeling like when you go through a storm, have you ever got on a self-pity party? You got to feeling like you're the only person there. Nobody else going through what I'm going through. Are y'all out there tonight? Nobody else experiencing what I'm experiencing. But I want to tell you, friend, there's other people in the storm facing the same thing that you're facing. Amen. Let me just take my time tonight and try to be a help to you. I don't care what kind of fleshly problem you're going through. Somebody else is going through the same problem. I don't care what kind of financial problem you're going through. Somebody else is going through the same problem. Did you think about when the Hebrew boys were in the fiery furnace and one, just one in there? There was three in there. I'm telling you tonight, don't let the devil back you in the corner and put you in a self-pity party and tell you that you're the only person going through what you're going through. Now, I don't know anything about any of your life. I don't know what you're going through, but somehow today in prayer, the Lord kind of stirred my heart that somebody here is going through a difficulty. You're going through a storm in your life, a trial, a hard time in your life. But friend, I'm telling you tonight that you're not the only one going through it. There's others facing the same problem. But may I say about these, there are others that are following in your past. Now hear me a minute. They're behind this big ship's up ahead. These little ships are behind, and they're watching. These little ships are watching how these big ships are going to handle their trouble. May I say to you, there's somebody watching you tonight. Or amen, friend. There's somebody watching how you're going to handle your problem. Mother, somebody's watching you. Daddy, somebody's watching you. Your children's watching you. These other ships are back there saying, how is it up there, fellas? And I can hear one of them say, come on, it's getting just a little better. I'm glad, thank God, there's other people that's been through storms, amen, that can help you in your trouble, but they're watching you. Don't let them down. Oh, my soul, don't let them down. Mother, listen to me tonight. I know this is simple. I'm down to earth, primer type preaching, but listen to me tonight. Don't you let your little child down. Oftentimes, friend, I believe the reason children quit God when they get up 16, 17 year old, they watched mother and they watched daddy and they watched them falter and stumble every time trouble come. Amen, friend. Let's set an example for the next generation. I told my church the other day, I don't care, bless God, if Obama goes in. I don't care if Romney goes in. And of course, you know who I voted for, the same one you voted for, if you had any sense. Amen. And I told my church, I said, I want to tell you something. I'm not giving up the fight. I'm not going to quit fighting. I don't care. There's others watching me. Don't give up the fight, friend. Listen to me tonight. Don't throw in the towel when trouble comes. Some years back, we had a family go through a storm at the church, a severe time in their life, and they all folded up and they all quit. Now their teenagers are 16, 18 year old, and they can't get them in church. And I said to one of them here a while back, I said, what are you doing? Listen, they're looking at you. They're watching you. They want to see how you handle a storm. Listen, I remember hearing old Berman Cape. Y'all know Brother Cape. Brother Cape was here a few years back when I preached a meeting here. Brother Cape said when his boy went off to Vietnam, he said, I could not give him much of anything. He said, I couldn't give him nothing that other parents were giving them. He said, but I took my boy behind that bus, me and Miss Evelyn, and we bowed down and prayed for God to watch over him. I want to tell you, friends, set an example for the next generation to follow. Oh my tonight. I'm afraid we're letting down the next generation. They ain't seeing nothing. All they're seeing is mothers and daddies throwing in the towel and going the way of the world. They're watching you when you get in a storm. I watched these old men of God over the years. I watched them handle their problems. I watched them stay with the stuff. I watched them hold true and not wobble on the axle when trouble come. I know that may sound simple tonight, but I'm telling you, it's what God put in my heart. You stay true to God. You stay where you're at. There's somebody else going through it too. You're not the only one. They'll feel like Elijah up on the mountain and say, Lord, I'm the only one. God said, Elijah, I want to tell you something. I've got 7,000 that's not bound to me to Baal or kissed his enemy. I want to tell you tonight, you're not the only church left. And our church is not the only church left. They're few and far between. But I'm glad, thank God, tonight somebody can set the example and stay up ahead and let others watch. Amen. Let me just say it again. I feel like this is something that somebody really needs tonight. I really God do. Oh, they're watching you. They're watching you. Brother Jonathan, ever since the first time I came here and met your family and met your boy and your boy got out of church. God in heaven knows, preacher, I've prayed for your boy many days. God in heaven knows that's the truth. I've prayed for your boy many days that God would get him in. He's watching you, Jonathan. He's watching you, sister. They're watching how you gonna stand and what you gonna do. These people watching you, young people, on the job. They want to know how you gonna handle trouble. What you gonna do? For God's sake, friend, whatever you do, show them your God. Let them know you don't have to quit. Let them know your God is sufficient to keep you in the worst time of your life. You don't have to quit. There's a people to continue with. I believe I ought to stay in the church. I believe I ought to stay in the people of God, the church. Are you listening to me? Amen, Brother Robbie. I think I'll just stay at God's people. I told our men, I said, I'm going to stay here if y'all want to fight. Our church is right down, sets up on a hill, kind of in a river way down yonder below our church. And I said, if y'all want to fight, we'll go down there on the riverbank. We'll black one another's eyes. We'll make blue spots on one another's jaws, and we'll fight it out. But we'll come back, and we'll make up, and we're going to go on. I said, but I ain't a leaving. Amen. I ain't a quitting, friend, are you? Amen. You can say what you want to. I didn't start this thing to stop. I didn't get in it to quit. I want to go to the end of the journey. I want to go to the end of the race. Amen. I know others are watching us. They're going to see how we're going to do. And you, listen, somebody may serve God just because of watching you. Amen. Don't take that lightly. Please don't take that lightly. I know I ain't as deep as I usually preach, but don't take that lightly. Before God, friend, keep your eyes on what you're doing. Amen. Somebody is watching you. There's a people to continue with. But may I say secondly, something else you can remember till the storm passes by. Now, there's a people to continue with, but there's a person to call upon. Thank God. Look at verse number 38. He was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow. They wake him up and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? I'm glad there's one to call upon in the storm. Oh, aren't you glad tonight? Thank God there's one, amen, that you can call upon. I don't care how bad it gets. I'm glad, thank God, you can call upon the Lord. Amen. He's the caring one. The one that you care to call upon is the caring one. If you ever feel like the Lord don't care, just be honest now. You can sound real spiritual and say, no, preacher, I never felt that way. You ain't never been to battle. There have been times I felt like he was just like him. I felt like he was asleep. I feel like he was distant and disinterested. I feel like God didn't know what was going on. God didn't care what was going on in my life. Amen. About a little over 10 years ago, we had 42 people one Sunday morning get up and walk out on me. Like to broke my heart, I about had a nervous breakdown. Amen. I'm telling you, friend, and I thought, God, don't you care? Don't you care? I'll never forget Missionary Delaney Rose. Y'all ever heard of Missionary Delaney Rose? A woman. She went to China back in the 30s, 20s and 30s, and she was over there as a missionary. And they went in there and got to preaching. Her and her husband got put in jail. Stayed in jail for about 7 or 8 years. And while in jail, they took her husband out of jail and killed him. Killed her husband. Sent her back to the United States, brokenhearted. She was in the United States a few years, and God burdened her heart to go back to China. She went back to China, Brother Jonathan. She went back to China. Immediately upon entering China, they put her back in jail. 10 years later, she's still in prison in China. Missionary Delaney Rose, she said, I had it on tape. I heard her tell it. She said one day, sitting in my cell, now you won't talk to God like this, and I won't either. You have to be careful what you listen to this. She said, sitting in my cell, she said, I said, dear Lord, ain't no wonder nobody will serve you. Look how you treat your youngins. She said, me and my husband come over here to serve you because you sent us here. He got killed. He says, now 18 years I've spent in prison for you. She said, God, don't you care? Don't you care that I'm hurting? Don't you care that my heart's broke? You say, I don't understand that. You get in the battle real good. You let people stab you in the back. You give your life to a church, a home, a family, a wife, a child. You break your back for them. And it all caves in and you get stabbed in the back. You get to saying, does God even care? Is the Lord even interested in what I'm going through? She said, sitting there in that prison, she said, I said, Lord, I'd like to have a banana. She said, God, if you still love me, if you still care for me, and if this is your will that I be here in this prison cell, God, I'd like to have a banana. If you can just get me a banana, God, I'll know you still care. She said, the next day, she said, them old prison guards was mean. She said, the next day I heard that cell door shake. She said, a door opened. She said, a bunch of bananas come in. Said it had 99 bananas on it, one bunch. She said, I got to singing that old song. Does Jesus care when my heart breaks? Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. Boy, I'm glad tonight, thank God, this one that you can call upon is the caring one. Hey, we have not an high priest which cannot be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, but was of all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. We may obtain grace to find mercy and obtain grace to help in the time of need. I'm glad you can cast all your care on Him. He cares for you. Yes, He cares. Oh, yes, He cares. I don't understand it. Now, sometimes He seems so disinterested. They're about to sink. They're doing it, and He's just laying there asleep. David got to feeling that way one day in Psalm 44. He said, awake, O Lord. Don't you care? Ain't probably somebody here tonight, you think, friend, that God don't care about you because you went. Robbie was talking there a while ago about that personal relationship with the Lord. I remember nights when my daddy would beat me like a dog. And I grew up, I don't ever remember a day my daddy didn't beat me. I remember growing up and I'd think, don't somebody in this world care for me enough to get me out of that? Amen. I got run off from home now, 16-year-old. Daddy run me out of the house. I remember sleeping in a truck nights when it was freezing. I'd sleep in an old truck. I'd reach up long enough to turn the heater on and get myself a little warm and lay in the floorboard of that truck and try to stay warm. And I think, don't somebody care? Don't somebody care? I remember one night, thank God, in 1979, I met one, hallelujah, that's been a father. He's been a brother. He's been a friend. He's been a savior. He's been a Lord. He cares for you like a daddy cares for his boy or a mama cares for his girl. He cares for you like a husband cares for his newborn bride. He cares for you like a shepherd cares for his sheep. I'm glad, thank God, tonight He cares. I'm glad, thank God, looking down over the battlements of heaven, God cares about you. He don't listen. I would go to meetings. I don't know why I'm telling all this. I'd go to meetings and I'd think, I can't never be like them other people. If I was raised in a drunkard's home, I can't never be like them other people that was raised in Christian homes and had a Billy Gouldsby for a daddy. I think I can't be like them other people. All I'll ever be all of my life is a nothing and a nobody. And I'd sit there and think it'll never be no different. I remember the first time I'd been saved about a year. I remember the first time God pulled me up near Him and made love to my soul. Amen. I knew for the first time, thank God, God didn't just love the world. I'm glad I found out He loved Buster Mullins. Amen. It wasn't just the world He loved. He loved me. Amen. I'm glad He cares about you. I'm glad He cares what you're going through tonight. I don't care how bad your heart's breaking. He cares about you. He's the caring one. This one you can call on is the caring one. He cares for you. He really, really does. He cares for you. Amen. So many things I could tell here, but not only He's the caring one, this one you can call upon is the conquering one. He's the one that conquered the winds in this passage. He's one that conquered the waves in this passage. He's one that controls whatever goes. He's a conquering one, but He's a controlling one. He's the one that can conquer and control whatever's going on around you. I'm glad, thank God, He's able to take care. You believe that tonight? Boy, it's one thing to hear that preach when everything's going good. Son, when the devil walks through the back door and kicks the back door down. One of the young'uns walks in and says, I'm expecting a baby. One of the children says, I ain't going back to church no more. When the church, Brother Ronnie, rises up against you, authority as a pastor, boy, the waves begin to get high and the wind gets boisterous and you can't do nothing. And you think, Lord God, what am I going to do? I'm glad David said in Psalm 50, he said, call unto me in the day of your trouble. Boy, I'm glad you call on the Lord. Boy, I'm glad I've lived long enough to learn it works. Amen, friend. I remember when I first got preaching, I'd preach it because the Bible said and other people said it worked. I've lived long enough now to find out personally, that thank God there is help. There is help in the Lord. Oh, what are you going through tonight? Oh, what are you hurting about tonight? What's breaking your heart tonight? What kind of trouble's in your life tonight that's tearing you apart? Remember, there's a person to call on. I've learned this over my life. It's been a great day in my life and I learned this. When I've got trouble, I never tell nobody. I just tell the Lord. You can spend your time talking to everybody else. But I'm going to tell you, well, I ain't preaching too deep tonight, but you can spend your time trying to tell everybody else your problems, but all you've done is just got a load of their problems. You start telling somebody your problem, here's your problem, and all they'll say is, yeah, I know, I'm going through this. And instead of getting to tell them your problem, you become a ear and listen thirst for the next hour. You'd have been better off went to God and took yours and unloaded on Him and instead of trying to tell everybody else yours. Amen. What are you going through tonight? Somebody's hurting here. I know what I'm talking about. Somebody's brokenhearted, down, and you think, Lord God, life's about over and it can't never be no different and it's awful and all that good stuff, you know, and you eat up them dastardly D's. Depression, discouragement, and defeat, and doubt, and I call them the dastard. I said, preaching our church sometime back, I said, you better watch them words. It starts with a D. Going out the door, one man said, your wife's name's Dorothy. You better be careful out there. And I said, no, I said exactly what I meant. Amen. I'm telling you something tonight, friend. I know this is revival and maybe the emphasis is usually on folk backsliding and trying to get the church stirred up and trying to get people saved. But I'm trying to tell you tonight, friend, if you get under your load to the point that it's breaking you down, you can't help yourself. There's nobody else. He's a conquering one. He's a controlling one. He's the one that can take care of it if you'll just call on Him. It works.
I'll never forget when, I don't know why I'm telling these little personal experiences, but I'll never forget them 42 people got up and walked off and left us over a doctrinal issue. And it got so bad. It got so bad. Oh, it got so bad. I remember told my wife one day, I said, I'm going to walk up here in Jefferson National Forest, way back up in the mountains, and there's, I think, of me and 200,000 acres in that national forest, and I'm going to walk up there and just find me somewhere to pray and get along a while today. I've heard you talk about going down to Alabama when you get trouble there, and I just parked my car way up there in the truck, way up there in the mountain, and started walking. I found myself wandering way miles up in that mountain. And I got up there and found a place that looked like a been a quarry maybe there in days gone by where they quarried rock out. And I stood on the bank of a 400-foot drop, looked like straight down. And the devil said, why don't you just cast yourself off of here? Just get done with all of it. Just throw yourself down, jump off of here, and be done with all that old stuff. You don't have to worry about it no more. And I'll tell you, the thought entered my mind pretty strong. Yeah, it did, friend. I thought it'll all be over. And I thought about my wife. I thought, Lord, I can't do this. I walked back down the valley and I found a little deer trail. And I just found a big old oak. I scooted some leaves out and just got down there next to that oak. And I'm telling you, I said, dear Lord. And the minute, Brother Ray, I said, dear Lord. I'm telling you, it's like God cut off the south end of heaven. Dropped it in my soul. I just said, dear Lord, I got to have some help. God, I can't carry this no more. I got to have some help. You got to break in on this thing. He didn't fix nothing down at the house, but he sure fixed something in my heart that day. I went back and problems were still there. And people were still roaring and giving me trouble. But there was something that happened down inside my soul. Praise God. I'm glad call unto me. I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Hey, what you need to do is keep calling to God. Just keep calling to the Lord. He'll help you.
Amen.
There's a people to continue with and a person to call upon. Listen to this. There's a peace to comfort you. Look what he said in verse 30. Or verse 39, rather. He said, he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. I want you to notice this. In verse number 37, and there arose a great storm. In verse 39, he arose. He arose when the storm rose. I'm glad when trouble stands up, he'll stand up. There's a peace. May I say, the giver of that peace. Who's the giver of that peace? The Bible said, he said. Listen to this now. Nobody can give peace to you in your storm but the Lord. Now, I'm telling you that's simple, but I want you to miss that. We try to get one another to comfort each other and try to help one another, but I don't care how many times I say to you, Brother Ronnie, you can call me in trouble going on, problems going on. I'm saying, now, Brother Ronnie, it'll be all right. It'll be okay. Don't worry now. You ever hear somebody say, don't worry now? You're heading right now. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
It's going to be okay. Peace, brother. It'll be okay. Just trust the Lord. It'll be all right. But you walk right back away, same way you did. And ain't nobody can give you peace. Ain't nobody can do it. I don't care how much they love you and how much they try, they can't give you peace. But I'm glad there's one thing. God can come walking in the storm upon your soul. I don't understand it, and I can't explain it. It describes description, but I'm glad he can speak to you in a way to let you know, bless God, this is going to be all right. It's going to be okay.
Amen.
Y'all listening?
Amen.
I know this is simple. Some years back, I was preaching in a big meeting, you know, big doctors, and half of them there was doctors and lawyers, and had 4 or 5 presidents of Bible colleges there, and I was scheduled to preach, and I started to leave the room that morning, and I'm telling you the truth, y'all ever had a panic attack? I mean, it's worse than a Coke attack, trust me. I'm talking about Coca-Cola now. And I got upset, and I'm telling you what's truth. I got to shaking. I thought, I can't preach in front of that bunch of people. I'm telling you, brother, I'm honest with you. I never fell apart like that. I fell apart. It was about 9 o'clock, meeting started at 10 in the morning, and I called my wife, and she was at home, and I said, honey, I said, you're going to have to pray for me. I said, I feel like I'm fixing to have a nervous breakdown. She said, oh, you'll be all right. I hate somebody say that when your world's caving in. I don't know what you're supposed to say, but don't tell them it'll be all right. It don't work too good. She said, oh, you'll be all right. I said, oh, don't tell me that. I said, I'm tore all to pieces. I got in the truck and I headed toward the church. And I got halfway there, which was about 5 miles away. I got halfway there and I got shaking. I did. Miss Willie, I got shaking. I turned and went back to the motel room. Lord God, I want to do everything but lie that morning. I went back to the motel room and I laid down the floor and spread out and I said, dear God, I need some help, but I can't go. I don't have it myself. I'm nervous. I'm tore up, God, and my mind's tore up. I'm nervous, and I don't know why I'm telling this. Now, y'all listening?
Yeah, go ahead.
And Lord, I'm dying. I've got to have some help here. I've got to have some help. I'm telling you, there's a peace coming in that room. God said it'll be all right. My wife had said that, and it didn't help me.
Yeah,
didn't help me a bit when she said it'd be okay. But when the Lord said it'd be all right, I just got up out of the floor and got back in my truck, and I drove back out there, and there sat all them doctors and all them lawyers and all them bigwig professors at colleges, and the preacher got up and said, Brother Buster Mullen, now you come up and get ready. And I went shaking again. Then he said, no, I believe I missed the will of God. I said, Brother Henson, back here you come. I thought, hallelujah. I missed the bullet today. And then he got Brother Henson up, and then I'm sitting there all relaxed and calmed down real good. Then he said, I'm missing the will of God. Brother Dwight Banks, it was that morning. He said, I'm missing the will of God. He said, Brother Buster's still supposed to preach. And here I get up, and I thought, Lord, I don't care if I flop. Just let me be me. Just let me be me. Just let me be me. I got to preaching. I tell you, the Holy Ghost got to squeezing my soul. People got to shouting. I had to quit preaching. The altar filled up. There's 100 people on the altar. Altar filled up. I'm just telling you, friend, tonight, I can say to you it's going to be okay. But you'll go to the house and still worry. Your preacher and say it's going to, doctor and look at you when they're dying with cancer. You got eat up with cancer, trouble in your body and all sorts of sickness. Doctor and look at you and say it's going to be okay. That don't soothe much, does it? I mean, honest, I'm just being plain tonight. Last Monday, a week ago, y'all don't know, most of you probably, I was born with a hole in my heart. Doctor said a little be 8 year old. I'd die before I was 8. I turned 54 the other day. And I have a lot of problems at my heart. Last Monday night, a week ago, my heart went into AFib. It does it often. It went into AFib, the worst I've ever had. It lasted an hour and a half. Thought I was having a heart attack. And finally had to give up and go to the emergency room. In the emergency room, spent till after midnight there, and going down the road, we pulled off the interstate and got on number 11, Marion Avenue, and headed toward the hospital. And I told Dorothy, I said, Flores thing. I said, I'm having a heart attack. And I thought it was. I was in bad shape. Bad shape. That's just last week. And she's going down the road in a 45, doing 73. Cop pulls in behind her, and them lights starts flashing. I said, don't pay no attention to him. She said, he'll give me a ticket. I said, well, I'm going to die. Which one's worse? She went on. He pulled her right into the emergency room, followed right in behind him. He was mad. He got out because he'd followed us 2 miles, I guess, and we wouldn't pull over. And he was mad. And he come out there, and man, you could tell it. He was pretty hot. And I said, sir, I believe I'm having a heart attack. I didn't want to stop talk to you because I wanted to get here. And he said, it's okay, sir. It's all right. You go on in there. It's okay. I got in there, and I won't go into details of what's going on in my heart, but doctor's done a lot of tests, a lot of checks, told me to be in to see a cardiologist in 2 days. I said, I ain't got no time until the first week of December. And doctor looked at me, and she said, you're probably going to be all right. I'll tell you, that didn't help me. That didn't help me. Her saying, you're going to be all right, didn't help me. But about an hour after I got there, everything got settled back down. I got to pray and peace of God come in my heart. I'm glad, thank God's going to be all right. I'm trying to tell you tonight, I don't know what, I'm not being deep preacher tonight, but it's going to be okay. There's a God watching over you. Amen. The Bible said the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. He heareth their cries. His ears are open to their cry. That word, the eyes of the Lord are over. You study the emphasis of that meaning. The eyes of the Lord are over you, over the righteous. It means He's got everything blocked out above. He's got everything blocked out below. The eyes of the Lord are over you. He's got everything blocked out on both sides. He's given you His undivided attention. Boy, I'm glad tonight when you get in trouble, He blocks everything out above, everything below, and He's given you His undivided attention. Oh, I'm glad when it gets so bad, I'm glad the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous. I'm glad He's got it. You got my attention. We ain't got no children. We've raised a boy. You was asking about him today. And I won't go on the story, but I love that youngin. I love that youngin with everything in my soul. I love that youngin. He's become like my boy. He calls me dad. And he's just like my own son. And I don't care, Brother Ronnie. I'm telling you. I don't care what crowd I'm in. When he was this tall, and now he's 6'4". But when he was this tall, I don't care if I was around 100 preachers or all the church. When he's come up and when he spoke my name, I didn't know nobody else was in the room. He had my undivided attention. I loved him so much, I don't care if it's Brother Ronnie talking to me. When he come up, I wouldn't intentionally do it. He just had whatever. I don't care what Ronnie was saying. He just had my attention. Well, I'm glad we got a God in heaven. I don't care what's going on in this whole universe.
Come on now.
Amen. Praise God. I don't care what's going on in this whole universe. If these 10 million stars are burning out at the very second, I've got the minute you say, Lord, yes. I hear you there. I'm glad we got His heart. I'm glad we got His head. I'm glad He cares. I'm glad, thank God, there's a peace. The giver of that peace is the Lord. He said He give the peace. The grounds of that peace. The giver of that peace is Him. The grounds of that peace is His Word. He spoke peace to them. You know where you'll find peace? In the words of the Lord. He can comfort you, friend. He can comfort you like nobody else. But notice this, the greatness of that peace. Look at verse 37. There arose a great storm of wind. Look at that. Verse 37, when there arose a great storm, verse 39, He arose. When the storm arose, He arose. And there's a great storm. And notice what kind of peace happened in verse 39. What kind of calm came? The same word, great calm, is the same word as great storm. The word great's the same. In other words, the calm was equal to the storm. The storm's never bigger than the calm. You know, everybody's seen these storms pass on TV. Maybe some of you were ever maybe in some of those things. But even days or hours before those storms hit, those waters get choppy. And then after that storm passes by, for hours, that water's choppy. The Bible said that water, immediately, it just calmed right down. Listen, I know this is a picture in the Bible. I know this is a story that happened 2,000 years ago. And you think, preacher, that's just a story in the Bible. God can do that to your life tonight. God can do that to your life tonight. When everything else fails you,
There's a peace that'll comfort you. Let me say number four, there's a promise to cling to. And I know y'all seen this 1,000 times. I ain't preaching nothing new. But the promise to cling to is simply this. We're going to make it to the other side. The passage to the other side. Look at verse number 35. He said, let us pass over to the other side. He didn't say, let me go over. He said, let us go over. They're in this thing together. The safety of the disciples is wrapped up in the safety of the Savior. If He makes it over, they make it over.
Amen.
Whatever happens to him is going to happen to them.
Yeah.
There's a oneness here.
Amen.
In other words, whatever happens to the Savior is going to happen to the people that's in the boat with the Savior. I want to tell you, friend, we're going through.
Amen.
We're going to make it to the other side. I wonder, he said, let's go over. They don't think they're going to make it. He said, let's go over. And verse chapter 5, verse 1, and said, and they came over. You're going to make it through. Now, I don't know what kind of troubles you're going to have. I don't even understand why we have to have all these troubles. If God said to me, then what kind of life would you want? I'd say, Lord, I want a life free of trouble. Austin, 9, it'd be good after you got saved last night. You could just choose your path the rest of your life. And Lord, I want a life free of trouble. But now I want to tell you something tonight. Shallow as it may sound, it ain't probably going to be that way. Man's born to woman, a few days full of troubles. I tell my wife all the time, the key to that passage is born to woman. She said, you're taking it out of its context. I said, I know, but it gets you stirred up anyway. You're going to have some troubles. I don't know what waits me. Till we hear the sunset. I don't know what waits between here and sunset. I thought, and I'm just so shallow tonight, but I thought all I had to do when I started preaching is preach the Word of God, everybody loved me to death. I would have believed that. I thought they'll invite me for dinner. I found out I eat more cold shoulder than I do hot ham. And I thought all I had to do was love God, live for God, and everything just be wonderful. And I'm not telling you tonight it ain't been. I've had a good life. God's blessed me so much, but I've had my share of heartaches. I've had my share of problems. I've had my share of crying all night. I promise you I have. But I want to tell you, friend, we're going to make it through.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to make it through. We're going to get there after a while.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be over in just a little while.
Amen.
All your heart troubles and all your heartaches and all your problems and all your storms and all the dark days and lonely nights and all the broken hearts and all the broken spirits and all the troubled minds, thank God, it's going to be over after a while. Sometimes I think, bless God, we just need to. And I preach rough, and I think y'all know that if you're around me much. I preach about as hard as anybody most of the time. But I think sometimes we just need, as people of God, just stop and read over there in the book of the Revelation. Read about that new city that we're going to live in. Ain't nothing wrong every once in a while shouting about heaven. Some folks don't even want us to get happy about it. They think it's emotionalism. Well, it might be a little emotional, but it's all right every once in a while to go over there and read about where we're going to live after a while.
Amen.
I'm going to live in a land that ain't going to be no heartaches. Bless God, go ahead and let that in the devil's nose.
Amen.
It ain't going to be this way forever.
Amen.
It ain't going to be this way forever. There's a promise that we can cling to, that we're going to pass over to the other side. We are going over. I don't care how many troubles we have.
Amen.
I heard a preacher just the other day. I was preaching over North Carolina. If I called a man's name, all of you would know him. Probably, and I'm about done, but he said in his 12-year-old, his daddy's a pastor, and again, I won't go into no details. Y'all know who I'm talking about, but probably anyway, but he said, Daddy was a pastor, and Daddy's pastored over 50 years. Daddy's pastored. Now he's a preacher. He's got another brother that's a preacher.
And he said, I watched that church. He said, I watched that church break my daddy's heart year after year after year after year after year after year after year. He said, by the time I was 12, 14, I was so angry and sour and mad at God, mad at people. Because I thought, if I ever get old enough, I will quit church. I will never go back. He said, I got about 16 and got real rebellious. And he said, one day, he said, Daddy set me down. He said, son, I ain't having no rebellious boy. He said, you're running my testimony to church. He said, I'll give you 2 weeks. Either straighten up or I'm resigning the church. He said, that placed responsibility on me like nothing ever had. He said, I straightened up. Didn't get saved a little later, he said. He said, but I always wondered in my mind how in the world my daddy could have such joy when the whole world around him was caving in. He said, one day I went out by the barn and I just listened at him pray. Boy, I'm glad that he's a peace. Bless God that the world can't take from you. I'm glad, Jonathan, no matter, son, if your boy ain't back in tonight, I'm glad God give you grace. I'm glad God can give you. I've seen folks shout under some of the most difficult days. I've seen them shout, bless God. God's real, folks. We're going to pass over after a while. Jesus said we're going to go over, and he saw that storm. He knew that storm. He'd have slept right through it. They'd left him alone. I ain't got that kind of faith. I'll just be honest about it. I'm kicking and screaming like a youngin' you took a Tootsie Roll away. What about you? I'm going to get by the way, thank you. Careful. I can't stand some of these thousands of dollars quartets. They'll get up and stick a microphone halfway down their throat and they'll tip some testimony and make you sound like they're living at the foot of the cross and everything's just wonderful. If I was driving a $500,000 bus selling 25 cent tapes for $15 a piece and making $4,000 and $5,000 a night, I'd probably think it's a wonderful life too. That didn't cost you nothing. That was free of charge. They'll give somebody, but the further they go with that testimony, the more flowery and poetic it becomes. Till after a while, you think they're some kind of super saint, and they go through troubles, and nothing bothers them. I ain't that way myself. I get in heartaches and troubles, and I get crisscrossed, and I get all twisted up, and I'm all mixed up, and sometimes I can't even see straight. I can't even think right. But listen to this, and I'm done. It ain't up to you to bring yourself out of that storm. He'll see you through it. Listen, I don't know tonight. I preach to you like a teenage preacher. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what heartache's breaking your heart tonight. I don't know. But I know this. I'm not telling you what I've read. I've read it in the Bible, and that's good enough. But I'm not talking about reading it in a book. I'm telling you what I know by experience. He'll come to you in time. He'll get around to you. About the time it looks the absolute, absolute, hopeless, darkest, he'll come to you. He'll meet your need. Do you believe that? You young people, you young couple right here, trust him. Just trust him. Brother Jonathan, this Brother Ray down there in Jamaica, just trust him. Just trust him. When you can't see him and you can't feel him and you don't know where he's at and you don't even know what's... Oh, my preacher. You know what? The Holy Ghost just nudged my heart about something. You know what we've been talking about. Oh, man. Just trust me. Just trust me. I can't see him. I ain't never seen his face. Having not seen, I love. Though I see not now, yet for a season I rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory. I don't know what you're going through, folks. I'm trying to shut up. I don't know what you're going through. It's your young'uns, your children, your wife, your husband, your grandchildren, marriage problems, financial problems, job problems. About to lose your job and lose your house, and you don't know where you're going. You don't know what's going to happen, and the economy looks bad. And we got a crazy anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-Christian government and leaders and everything around us. It looks like a big storm brewing, myself. I'm telling you, it's a big storm brewing. I've heard them coming. Listen, I'm done. I'm trying my best to hush. I've heard that thunder in the background. I say, Dorothy, did I hear it thunder? I sat in the study a few weeks back on Saturday night late. I went out and said, did it thunder? And she said, I think I heard it too in the distance. In a few minutes, I heard it a little closer. I've heard them storms coming. Sometimes anything you can do. Anything you can do to stop them. Are you listening to me? All you can do is try to get ready for them. And when they're past, just go back outside and set everything back in its place. Everything's been blowed all out of shape. Just put everything back in its place and pick up your life and go on. Anything you can do to them. I don't even know how to give an invitation right now. I don't want to stop and I don't want to go on. Trust Him. Put your life in His hands. 2 weeks ago, God put Romans 12 in my heart. I've eat it, breathed it, slept it. I've quoted it 50 times or more in the last 2 weeks. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy unto God, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, be ye transformed into a new mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. God said, some things going on in my own life. God said, put yourself in front of me. Get yourself in front of me. Put yourself in front of me. Present yourself to me. Submit yourself to me. Submit yourself to me. If we could just do that. Oh, if we could just submit ourselves to Him. Lord, here I am. If it takes a storm, then let it come. Sister Willie, would you come? I really wrestled over this simple message tonight. I struggled with it. I thought, Lord, there's conviction there last night. And people getting saved. And Lord, I'd like to strike while the iron's hot. And God said, no, that ain't what I want preaching tonight. Won't you tell them there's some things you need to remember till the storm passes by? You look at me, we may be in the worst storm in this country we've ever made. You better draw nigh to God. You better draw nigh to God, you young married couples. You're just starting out in life and struggling with a job and struggling with a house and struggling with a car payment, and you don't know what you're going to do, and just submit yourself to Him. Just stand and bow to pray.